Hey guys, so, you know, I talk a lot about the Civil War.
Well, I used to.
Yesterday I talked about the Mini Bowl.
Oh,
Civil War. But I've also talked about other periods of history and also Killing Bill. Like my misconception episodes, which are really good, so you should go check them out. They have phone calls. But I haven't done one for the American Civil War. So let's do one for the American Civil War. But first, I'm just going to poke my head down because the Confederates are currently shooting at me.
They don't sound like mad hornets.
Okay. They don't sound like mad hornets. They just sound worse. Let me just... Okay. Well, there are many misconceptions about the American Civil War. In fact, I'm pretty sure there are more misconceptions about the American Civil War than the most misconception-y war in the world, a.k.a.
the phony war.
Just kidding, not the phony war. The phony war was not a war. It was just a period between... But in the middle of the Second World War, where they basically, like, sat around for a bit, not doing much. It was right after Poland. Oh! Hey, Poland is a bit like Ukraine, right? Oh, wait, yeah, Germany isn't invading. Well, let's just start out real quick with, you know, trench warfare? I'm in a trench. The bullets are whizzing by me. Shut up. And people like to think of trenches as trench warfare being World War One. Well, not all the time. World War One certainly is one of the most popular parts of trench warfare, but it wasn't the first. Trench warfare had been perfected during the American Civil War, where it was proven outstanding. And in fact, the designs were amazing. Go look at the best example in the world, Kennesaw Mountain, where I live, where they have the best type ever. Instead of being just a big ditch that people stood in, it was very sophisticated. The actual trench was not that deep, but there were big mounds of dirt in front with wooden stabilizations. A head log protected somebody from any harm on their head, so, you know, you can make headshots and not get headshotted.
Is that even a quote from someone?
Yeah, that's basically all it was for. But, anyways, that was very useful. In fact, it was so useful that it grew into something that we still use today. Although with a little extra thing called barbed wire.
So, back then,
barbed wire wasn't the thing, so they had a bunch of sharpened sticks and put them together. And... Now, that might not be effective to us now, but back then, that was the most effective thing that they could think of. So yeah, there are many things that were effective about it.
Oh God.
Oh God. Oh God, oh God, the machine guns are going off. We're gonna die! no, that is also a misconception. Yeah, during the Civil War, yes, they did have things that could shoot real quickly, like Henry repeating rifles, Spencer repeating rifles, but none of those were actually... They did have a few things like the Gatling gun, but they were more of multi-shot cannons, because they did have big carriages and you couldn't just walk around with it unless you were a real badass. In order for you to be able to move it, you're going to have to put it on the carriage. But hey, the Wild West loved it, so yeah. Fun fact, the Gatling gun was actually only an experimental weapon. It was, like, used at Vicksburg and, like, a few other places that nobody's heard about. But never in, like, Gettysburg or, like, Antietam, Shiloh, for a less known example, Kennesaw Mountain. So, Gatling guns were not the most prominent machine gun. In fact, the most prominent machine gun wouldn't be a machine gun. There's this type of breech-loaded cannon. Oh yeah, this comes with another misconception that all cannons are Napoleons. No, it isn't. That one's simple to understand. But guess what? There was also cannons that were loaded from the breech. These were called Whiteworth cannons because they were invented by a man named, guess what? Whiteworth. So surprising, right? And Whiteworth created a new type of cannon system that shot from the breech. So it would have this big corkscrew at the end, and you would pull it just like how you would aim the cannon regularly. And when this happens, it causes the breech to loosen up, so you can pull it down, shove the round in, and you know, like those rammer thingies? Well, instead of ramming it in the muzzle, you ram it in the breech muzzle. If that's a word. I don't know if that's words. If you know if it's a word, then just know, because I have no idea. Like, breazzle. I'll just call it breazzle for now. So, after it's in the breazzle will be closed. And the person who did all of that will shout, and when they fire, they do the same thing they pulled out. There's only one problem. It was supposed to be used so that it would be much quicker. Guess what? It took about 20 seconds for them to load a regular cannon. For the Whiteworth, it took about 2 minutes to load this cannon because in order for you to secure the breech real well, what you would have to do is like, it's much harder to push a car with one pinky. Like, this is much harder than that. Oh my god, it's way too hard. Like, you've done hard things, like, in your life, like carrying a bunch of tires, or a bunch of gasoline, or your kids' milk gallons. But the soldiers at this, they broke their hands and fingers. No, I am not kidding about this. They literally broke their fingers. Some reenactor recently was using a Whiteworth, broke his hand. So yeah, the Whiteworth cannon wasn't something I would call a success. I would call it a failure. Right? All of that is pretty well known. But there is one more misconception that you probably never knew about. Hand grenades. So you all seen the movies. Now I did debunk the whole part of hand grenades and I actually tested it on someone. Hi, Bill. Oh yeah, he's a dead body right now. I blew his face up multiple times, and also crush him with a tank, so he's basically a big stinking goo right now. And I also injected some poison in his body, you know, the regular stuff for experiments. If you can't tell, I'm doing those air symbol thingies. But hand grenades were a thing during the American Civil War, believe it or not. In fact, they were used pretty well at Cheatham Hill, aka Kennesaw Mountain. Some Union soldiers said that as they marched up the hill, they lit hand grenades and lobbed it above their heads. But these weren't like, no, instead, these were big, solid, iron stuff. They were basically cannonballs with a longer fuse. And what they would do is they would get some hot stuff and put the fuse on it. And when it lights, they just lob it over the earthworks. Wait for like 10 seconds, and then Yeah, it was very powerful. Now, modern day grenades, they have pieces of metal flying everywhere. But for these things, like modern day grenades, they fling metal. But that metal, look how tiny it is. It's probably going to machine gun you, but not too much damage. I mean, machine gunning is a lot of damage, but, you know, still not fun. At least for anybody who likes killing people anyways. I do. But during the Civil War, it was much worse. Their grenades, they were literally cannonballs. Just hollow cannonballs. And they weren't, like, too hollow. They weren't, like, thin-skinned. Instead, it was thick-skinned. Like, real thick. About an inch and a quarter thick. Oh, yeah, and also 5 inches long on every side, and like jagged, and then it flies with such force it'll literally cut through your body like this. Hey Bill,
what?
Oh god, did I just turn this into a Kill Bill episode?
So yeah, no, it's not fun at all. Hand grenades during the war
were pretty slow, pretty hard, pretty inaccurate, pretty
not pocket-sized,
but they were also pretty
not family-friendly sized
because of the whole
not so blood-securing
because of the whole
death size.
So, if you ever want to do Civil War reenactment and you want to flop a grenade over your earthworks, don't do it. Or else 50 people will die of shrapnel and also of the explosion and also... Okay, just 100 people will die, okay? So if you're wondering for an explosive weapon, just rely on your musket, okay? And that concludes Random Misconceptions About the American Civil War. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope it was better than my other misconception episodes, especially the Cold War one. That one wasn't good at all. And I'll see you next time.